Good morning, everybody. I hope everybody enjoyed their one less hour of sleep last night, because I sure as heck didn't. But when Noah and I began this sort of three-week series, we were kind of excited just to walk through the day of Pentecost and kind of begin to understand what that's trying to tell us as a church and how we can take that. And so the first week, if you recall that I preached on discerning the Word of God and having a heart prepared to do that. And then last week, Dylan preached on baptism and communion. And then this week, Dylan kind of, that passage kind of wraps up with a sense of community. And I was really excited to talk about this. As I began to think of, like, the concept of community, I began to think of, like, my time in the military and how, much like the church, the army, or the military in general is a community. We're a band of brothers. I have in my notes that we have strong values, good leadership, and would help each other when needed, which is exactly what the church does. We're all rooted in our strong values. We're rooted in our care for one another, and so that is something that I feel is a good parallel there. And so as I began to like write this sermon and think about this, I started with a question of what does community mean to me, and how can we begin to understand what God tells us about it through this passage to help strengthen the church. And so our text today is going to be Acts 2:46 through 47, and it says, "Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved." See, as we begin to think this, I think that there's community demonstrated in many ways in this passage. And the first way I see this is that they say that they meet together and continue to pray. And so I think that The first thing, and let me make a disclaimer here, prayer can be both, you can find community in prayer one-on-one, but you can also find it in a communal sense when you pray as together. So by no means am I saying that we can't pray together and find community there. But to me, and my personal view, I think that there's community in a personal relationship with God. So when we, and through that, we find that in prayer. And my first point is, in my private time and prayer with God is where I find community in that first, in a personal relationship. And I have Matthew 6:6. It says, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." I think there's reward in that relationship, and that what you do, maybe not in a group, to be like, oh, I'm better than this person in the community. We find it when we do it by ourselves, when we're in our own personal relationship. And then I also have here, Jesus often withdrew to pray to God. And we see this throughout the Gospels. Commonly, if you're reading through any of the four accounts, you'll see that Jesus withdrew to pray. He left to go up to the mountain when he picked to pray before he picked his 12 disciples. And so we kind of begin to understand that there's a sense that Jesus, as the Son of God, as on earth, would find community in his quiet times praying to God. And so I have Luke 4:42 as an example, and it says, "At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place." Now, we know that when he went into the solitary place, he was going to pray. This is like right before he starts his ministry, and he's going out to spread the gospel to the new church and begin. He had just turned 30. He had been through the childhood, a normal childhood, and he's beginning to understand, you know, this is what I've been called to do. And so I think that if we follow the example of Jesus set in this, that prayer can be private, and we can find community through that in a personal relationship with God. And I think also, from a personal standpoint for me, I find a personal relationship as well in communion. When I take that time after I've drank my cup, And I sat there and I just began to pray to God for everything that's going on. That is a powerful moment to me, and it's also a very personal moment for myself to just sit there and reflect on everything God's given to me and everything I've been blessed to have in my life. And then I also have, I also think that there's community in a relationship as a church. Now, hear me, church, it's not just when we come here to meet on Sunday. This community needs to go outside of these very walls. So the first thing I think is we find is giving to those in need. And we find this in 46, and it alludes to how they were giving to those in need with glad and sincere hearts, and they weren't giving anything that they didn't have. We know that the church in Antioch was big on giving to the charitable people around them, people that needed stuff, and we know that we see like later with Sapphira that they had extra and they didn't want to give it all to God. And Peter and Paul even say to them, you don't need to give anything. You chose to give everything, but why are you only giving part of what you withdrew from God? You're not giving everything, so why tell me that you're giving everything when you're not? So I think that that's a powerful example that we need to notice that they did this willingly from what they had, from the abundance that God had provided for them. God gives us an overabundance for us to give to others, for us to be able to provide for other people in the community. It's not just for us to build a pile to live on, a pile of wealth to enjoy. We need to be willing to share. The second thing is we see this community in the meals that they had, both in-home and at church. I don't know about a lot of you, but growing up in the church, one of my favorite Sundays was the potluck Sunday at church. And you go in, and you just get your belly full and have to undo a couple belt loops. And just really, that was just a really enjoyable thing for me growing up, to just get to get together and socialize as a church. And you might get to see some people that you don't normally get to see at church. And so we find community there. And then it says that they were through communion and the breaking of bread, and I think that's one of those that we can get in both, right? We can do it as a personal relationship where we can take that time to withdraw, but we can also relish in the moment that we're all spending it together. We're doing this as a body of Christ, as a church, that we're breaking bread and doing this for Christ. And there's also an emphasis here on meeting as a church. Now, this concept of meeting as a group to worship God is mentioned over 8 times in the book of Acts. Now, we know that Luke's a doctor, and we know that he wrote Acts, and that he was very intentional about what he put in his book. There's 15 to 20 parables that are in the book of Luke that aren't in the rest of the Gospels, because he was so intentional about recording these stories. So if he's going to record something 8 times in this Bible or in this book and repeat it and repeat it and repeat it, then we need to understand that this is really important to him. So we see that there's importance for us to meet here, and that we need to understand that with this, that we need to have a personal relationship, but also this communal relationship. And so I came up with a neat little illustration for this. And while I was preparing this message, I began to think about the army. And there's this thing that we have, and it's a magnificent thing. And they call it leave, which is like basically vacation. You save up every day. You get 2.5 days a month. And then you can save up to like 60 days. You normally take like 14 to 30 at a time. And I began to think about all the times that I really, really was just like, oh, I can't wait to get out of here. I'd take my 30 days of leave, and at first, when you go, you're really happy. You're like, oh, yeah, I'm done. I get to go home for 30 days and spend time with my parents or my family. I get to not have to show up to PT every day. I don't have to shave every morning. Like, all these things that you really hate just kind of stop. There's no more text messages from your boss at late hours in the night. Oh, this has changed tomorrow, so you have to do this. There's no more sitting around until 4 o'clock and then, oh, wait, we got a 5 o'clock meeting and all of these things have to be done when we haven't done anything all day. We could have done it. And so you really begin to, like, enjoy this family time and you begin to relax. And I thought about it, and I was like, "This, you know, it's great for about a week." And then at this week, something changes. You begin to miss the work. You begin to get bored because you're not with the people that you're with every day. You're not with your friends every day that you're hanging out with for 12 hours a day. You're just at home with yourself, and you begin to get bored. And I think that. It's not like we forget the values. We miss the community, the sense of community that we have there. It's a different community when we go home, but it's not the same community we're used to. And so we begin to miss that. And then I have here that, and then finally, leave's over, you come back, and you feel complete. You're like, oh yeah, the community's back, you know? And then about a week later, you're ready to start the whole process again. So it doesn't really last. And so I think that in this, there's a couple of things we need to understand. And one is that we need both types of community to be a successful church. We need to have that personal relationship with prayer and going out and doing things on our own, but we also need to have this relationship as a church. We need to be able to meet in this building, and then we need to be able to go out and meet outside of this building. If we just come here for church on Sunday, and then we have no personal relationship with God outside of this church, then we're failing. We're not doing what we should be. And I think that, unfortunately, I've seen that a lot. People come to church on Sunday, and they're like, oh, yeah, I got my Jesus in for the week. Let me put on a different belt, walk out, and I can do whatever I want now. And that's not what we're called to do according to this text from the Word of God. And I think that the second big takeaway that I have here is when you're doing the community right, it becomes a part of who you are. And I think that's extremely important. I've had a deep philosophical conversation with one of my professors about how to bridge the gap between the military community and the church. And one of the things we were talking about is the Army has primarily five or six values, and they are loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage. And I would see all those values in a church leader, and I'd be like, oh, that's a magnificent leader. And so it's interesting when I've been to other churches, and they're not supportive of the military, and the pastor's kind of like, you know, I don't really want to talk about it because, you know, some people might leave my church. And so how can we understand that these values need to be a part of who we are? It calls us to bring the gospel to the ends of the earth. It calls us to be in community with everybody. So we need to reflect those values in everything we do, and they should become a part of who you are. It's funny because Dylan will be talking to me about stuff, and then I'll start telling him about something like I expect him to know what I'm talking about from growing up in the country. Like, I'll tell him some funny sayings, and then he'll be like, what does that mean? I don't know. And then I have to explain to him that it's just a part of who I am. It's just those sayings that I grew up hearing from my grandma and grandpa, from the country sayings that they have, you know, like finer than a frog hair, or, you know, just some of these funny old things that we've all heard, but, you know, somebody from the city in Houston, Texas has never heard of it. And so it's a good opportunity, you know, I get to tell him, you know, this is a part of who I am. This is something that I've known since I've grown up, and I think it's the same way in these community values. We need to remember that God's calling us as a part of a community to give to charity, to meet as a congregation, to enjoy meals with each other. And if we do that, it will become a part of who we are, and then we'll be the true embodiment of what God's calling us to be as a church. And so I would like to conclude today with a challenge that we as a church can find joy and community in both our quiet time with the Lord and also our community time. Let's find this sense of community in both of those and begin to realize that both of those are a part of the community. That when we can find community in our daily devotional time or prayer time with the Lord, but we can also find community when we go have lunch with somebody on Wednesday morning or Saturday or wherever you go, that we need to be able to realize that God's put us in community in both of those situations. So let's conclude today with a prayer. Father God, we just thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for this wonderful week of sunshine. And we hope that through this word that we've begun to understand how to effectively be in community, not only with each other, but with you. And that we know that we can't do this alone and that we need community with you, but we also need the strength of all of us to be able to carry this message. It's in your name we pray, amen. Now, if we've come to a time of invitation, so if you've heard something that you've maybe never heard of and you'd like to come talk to somebody about that, you can talk to myself, Dylan, or any of the elders here at the church. We'd be more than happy to take some time and chat with you. And with that being said, we'll let the ladies take over.
Our invitation song is, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. Sing out loud. Please stand. While we have the
Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name, and your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we thank you for this time being with the people that Christ died for. Of course, he died for all, but this congregation here at Mansfield, we thank you for all. We just heard, Father, many, many people are sick and afflicted, and some are traveling, and some in the military, so many procedures going on, some having operations. Father, I pray that you'll be with all of these and that they'll be healed, they'll be restored. It's our prayer for this, but it's your will, Father, and I know that you're a loving God. And Father, be with us all. We all need you at all times, every second of the day and night. Pray for the lost. They may return to God. Or if they have never been with God, pray that they'll soon know him. And pray that you'll give us another week that we may come back and hear, get together in love and honor and praise for you and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.